So we're going to do number three. We skipped a little week last week with me being away and Steph doing the Sunday for you. And thanks for that. This week, number three in our series on getting out of Egypt. And I want to take us to chapter six, and then we're going to skip a few chapters and we're going to go into chapter 14. So read with me Exodus 6. We're going to read verse 2 and then verses 5 to 7. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. And then verse 5. I've heard the groaning of the Israelites whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I've remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. So the Lord says, I will set you free. I will redeem you. I will make you my own. And he says these words to people who are struggling right now, people who are oppressed, people who've come to the end of their rope, people who feel that I don't know what to do. We're stuck. Nothing can get us out of this Egypt. This is where we are. It's holding us in bondage and we can't move. And God says, I will set you free. I will redeem you. I will make you my own. But here's the thing that I want us to remember this morning as we are going to speak about this life of freedom that God calls us into, where we should live. Two things. Number one, it will always ask a price of me. Comes with a price. Number two, it will always ask a decision of me when I want to walk in freedom with God. So let's talk about that. We're going to ask three questions this morning. Number one, what are we set free from? And there's a slide for that. Number two, how are we set free? And number three, what are we set free for? So the first question, what are we set free from? The answer, we are set free from bondage. Remember, if I take you back to that first sermon, what is your Egypt? We are set free from bondage because here's the thing. Before God can set me free, God has to take care of that which is holding me in bondage. Think of Israel in Exodus. They're in Egypt. Before God can get them out of Egypt, out of their bondage, God has to take care of Egypt. The Pharaoh, the people, the slave drivers, all the things that are keeping them there. Before he can set them free and bring them to the promised land, he has to take care of that Egypt. Before God can set you and me free, he has to take care of that which holds me in bondage. And the music was perfect this morning. We have to be set free from those chains that are holding me, that I can't be what God wanted me to be and intends me to be. So let's do a little social experiment that helps us understand this. Have you ever gossiped about someone behind their back, saying mean things about them that you wouldn't say to their face? Have you ever got angry at someone, so angry that you lost it on them? Have you ever walked around for a long time carrying a grudge that you just couldn't let go? Have you ever struggled with a really bad habit and you just can't shake it? Have you ever spoken, not the truth, and the whole truth. Time for confession. If any of those touch your heart or your life, put up your hand. Those of you who did not put up your hand, will you please put up your hand now, because that last one was exactly talking about you. Why do I do this? The list can go on. I just named a few little things and just small things, but they become way big things. The list will go on, and we can make that list, because these are the things that will become the things that hold us in bondage, that we are not set free. But I also did this little experiment with you so that we are all reminded as we sit here in this place and as we listen that none of us are perfect. None of us have made it yet. There's none of us that walk on a cloud and looking down on the earth saying, look at me, I'm perfect. None of us with that little name called saint. We're not. Our halos, thank the good Lord we don't have those, because they would be so tainted. Because here's the thing. The Bible says all of us struggle with this thing called sin. And I know you don't like that word, and I know none of us want to hear that word, but the Bible uses this word. And it's there. But can I remind you about this thing about sin? And I told you this before, but it's always good to remind again. It's not a religious word, right? You know that. It comes from the world of archery. When the archers would take their bows and arrows and they would shoot at the target. And if they missed the mark, in Greek it would be called hamartano. You missed the mark. In Hebrew it's chata. You missed the mark. And the problem with sin is, it's not that we miss the mark every now and then, it's that we can't stop missing the mark. Jesus said, John chapter 8, verse 34, he says, whoever sins becomes what we sang the song this morning, a slave of sin. Think of Egypt and Israel. Egypt kept them right there. That's what sin does. Sin takes you, puts you in Egypt, and it puts you in bondage, and you are a slave to sin. And we know that in our own lives. I'm not standing here preaching at you. I'm standing here preaching to me. We know that in our own lives, how easily this thing just gets its hands in you. Because you see, that's Satan's job. Revelation says that he fought against the angels of God and he was kicked out of heaven. And where did he go? Straight to this earth. And what does Revelation then say? Woe to you, earth, and people of the earth, because that thing is now right after you. And that's all he's doing. He's trying to get you so that you will miss the mark over and over and over and not reach the goal that God made you for. He wants to put you in bondage. So listen to what Exodus 14 says about that. Verse 5, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We've let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. Let me tell you the story again. So there they are in bondage. And then God sends Moses and he says, go talk to Pharaoh. Tell him, let my people go. Pharaoh says, forget it. 10 things God does that puts Pharaoh in his place. And the last one, Pharaoh says, I'm done with you. Get out, go. And they're out of their Egypt that kept them in bondage. But as they go, Egypt says, whoa, we can't do that. We can't let it go. We need them. We feed off them. We have to get them back. And Pharaoh and his soldiers jump on their chariots, and there they go. We're going to go get you back. That's exactly how sin works. Right? It will go after you. It will pursue you. The moment you try and break free from sin, you become the target, and it will come after you with everything in its power. And here's the problem. You and I, we can't do it on our own. We can't get away from it. We need someone, and God needs to send someone that is way stronger than me or you to help me get out of that bondage and get away from it. And that takes us to number two. How are we set free? First, what are we set free from? From the bondage. Number two, how are we set free? We are set free by grace. Now, grace. Grace is not just forgiveness of our sin. For grace is God doing what I can't do. Let me explain that from our story. So, they're out of Egypt, they're on their way, and they're happy, and then all of a sudden, they come to this place called the Red Sea. And they're stuck. Can't get around it, can't get over it, can't get through it. They're stuck. They can't do a thing about that. As they look back, they see this cloud of dust. And they know this is Pharaoh and his soldiers. So they're stuck between the devil and the deep blue sea. And they can't do a thing about that. They can't move the water. They can't stop Pharaoh. They're there. So Moses talks to God, and then God says, verse 13 of chapter 14, Moses said then to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." I can't go forward. Pharaoh's behind me. You can't do a thing. You need only to be still and watch what the Lord will do for you. Don't have to put your hands up because they're all going to go up. If I had to ask today, who of you think that you're strong enough to stand against these things that come against you that we call sin? None of us can do that on our own. We can't. It overwhelms you. You need someone that can do for you what you can do for yourself. It's called grace. Stand still. And that's the hardest part, right? Because I want to do it, but I can't. Stand still. And then, verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Be still and see what God will do for you, because God can do what you can't do. And he parts the waters, and they go through. And here's what I'm thinking. I think some of the Israelites that went through there, when that water parted, they said, "Get out of my way, let me go, this is amazing, praise God, hallelujah. Take that, Pharaoh, in your face." But I think then there were some others who were saying, "Uh-oh, a lot of water on both sides. Let me take this really slowly. Kids, you keep your hands away from those tails from the fish sticking out there. The water's going to come out if you pull that fish. Take it slow." And then I think a few of them were saying, "You guys go. We'll check you out first. And then maybe we'll get through this." But here's the thing. They all got through in the end. Why? There's a slide for this, Ted. We're not saved. You got it? We're not saved because of the quality of our faith. We are saved by the object of our faith. That makes sense. We're not saved by the quality of our faith. We're saved by the object of our faith. God did not say, so there's the Red Sea. So Israel, let me see. Can you build a bridge over this? Are you strong enough? Are you good enough? Are you holy enough? Do you pray enough? Let's see if you can do this. God said, let me open the sea. And you go through. We are saved by grace through God who does what we can't do for ourselves. Be still and wait, and I will do it for you, says the Lord. How are we set free? By grace. God doing what I can. It's not always easy to wait, right? We kind of want to run. We kind of want to do this. But we need to let God be God. They were not saved and got to the other side because of their holiness, because of their great faith. They got to the other side because of God. First question, what are we set free from bondage? How are we set free? By grace. Number three, what are we set free for? We're set free for a life with God. Let me explain that. A life with God in freedom is a journey. It takes time. I'm going to take you back to our story again. So they get through to the other side. You would expect them when they get to the other side and they see Pharaoh and his chariots and all of his soldiers drowning there, they're going to say, we're okay. We're good. Hallelujah. God, what do you want? Let's take on this journey. What do? They start complaining. They start groaning. They start moaning. They get so bad that they actually say, we'll rather go back to bondage. Let's go back to Egypt. Because here was the problem that they had. They wanted to get to their destination. It was all about the destination. They just wanted to get to the promised land. Lord, where's the food? Well, manna, every day manna, quail, why? Where's the water? There's stone, there's water. Yeah, we're right. So what about the next time? Can we just go back? Here's the thing. Living a life of faith with God is not about my destination. That's already set. It's about my transformation. Where God teaches me. And we're going to sing that song at the end. Where God teaches me. When I walk through that desert and all I see is desert and rocks, there's honey in the rock. When I walk through that desert and I am so thirsty and there's nothing but only a stone, there's water in the stone. When I go on this journey with God and sometimes it's hard and difficult, there's manna on the ground. No matter where I go, God will provide everything I need. I'm set free for this journey of living a life with God. And sometimes it takes me on the long road. Sometimes it takes me to the desert. Sometimes it takes me to the most difficult paths. You know, it took Israel 40 years to complete the journey that could have taken 11 days. Because it's not about the destination. It's about my transformation as I learn to trust in God and be still and let God do what God needs to do in my life. Your destination is set, my friends. Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead so that you and I have a place with God. It's set. Don't worry about that. That's God's problem. Enjoy the journey. Allow the journey, because the journey is growing you, is teaching you, is getting you ready for the day when you get to the destination, and all you'll have to do at that destination is to sing, Lord, there was honey in the rock and water in the stone and manna on the ground. No matter where I go, everything I need, I've got. Because you took me on that journey and you provided and you set me free, and I didn't need that Egypt anymore. And all of that was about that first question or that first statement. To be set free by God always asks or comes with a price. The second one said, it will always ask of me to make a decision. So I'm going to take you right back and we'll end. So when the Lord says, be still and I'll fight for you, just stand. Then the people kind of complain and moan and groan. And then Moses says, God, they're moaning and groaning again. And then God says in verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. This is important. To experience the miracle of being set free and the grace of God, you have to take that first step. Even if the water hasn't parted yet, you gotta move on and put your feet in the water and trust God that God will do what you can do. You have to take the step into the water for God to part the sea. It asks a decision from me. God will do. Me. I got to decide, do I go to Egypt or am I going to go on the journey? Take the step and let God's grace take you. So can I invite you? Will you go on this journey of freedom that God has in store for you? And God's people said, Amen. Father, wow. Your word sometimes just overwhelms. Because we feel sometimes so stuck because we try and do it ourselves. And we just want to run and get to the end. And all you're saying is stop, enjoy the journey with me. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be there for you. I'll do what you can't do. And Lord, there's so much that we can. And when it comes to missing the mark, we're so good. Thank you. Thank you that you don't leave us there. Through your Spirit, you come and you live in us. And the Spirit says, let's go. Let's put your foot in the water. Let's walk. And you, Lord, as we go on the journey, everything we need, you go. And you give it freely. Help us come before you, and that which holds us, that which holds us in bondage, can we just give that to you? May we ask, Lord, that you take care of that so that you can set us free. Thank you for your grace that does what we can't do. Thank you for Jesus, who opened the way into the heart of our Father. In your precious name we pray. Amen.